talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon lots of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it being made today. Big primaries in Florida and New York. May get into those in a bit, but certainly tomorrow we'll know the results. We're going to know what gubernatorial candidate is going to take on Ron DeSantis, which Democrats in New York were nominated for Congress, some excellent Democrats lumped together having to run against each other. But we're going to start in Washington and Russia. Washington and Russia. Dennis Rodman, great Bucks player. I saw him play in his prime. I saw him in a Bucks game against the Bulls. He was with the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, and they were in Milwaukee. And he is an amazing player. That was an amazing team, the Bulls, three-peat. But Dennis Rodman is a character, given to a lot of stunts, some of them good, some of them bad. One stunt, he did go to North Korea to free up some people that the North Koreans had, well, they kidnapped him, they just grabbed him. I would not recommend going to North Korea as a tourist or in any other way. Rodman went there and got somebody out. But in any event, Rodman just announced the other day that he's going to Russia, to Moscow, Russia, to free Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner is a WNBA star. I don't know if Dennis Rodman even knows her, but, you know, it's a worthy cause with an asterisk. It's a worthy cause with an asterisk. She's great. She's a great, great player. She was set up. The sad thing was, you know, she was playing for a Russian team. Yeah, Russia has professional basketball teams. So do most of the other countries in Europe. I was at a funeral, friend's sister, and one of the nieces is married to a guy, an American, went to the University of Iowa, outstanding basketball player at Iowa, but just not quite, didn't quite make the NBA, but he goes to the European League and he makes a pretty good living. Wife and kids are over there with him. He played in Greece, he's playing in Serbia now, he used to play in Russia. I had not realized how pervasive basketball is over there and the fact that there were teams in Russia. So the sad thing is Brittany Griner was going back to play with her Russian team. Now, you know, she was playing some kind of off season. And when they check her bag, they find hashish oil, which is legal in California and which her doctor advised her to use for medicinal purposes. But the thing about drugs, two things. Russia is a crooked state. It's a crooked genocidal state. So if they don't like Americans, which they don't like right now, you're crazy to go there. And here's why. They'll say they found something in your luggage. Check in, your carry-on, your check luggage. And then it's up to you in a Russian court to prove that they stuck it there and you didn't. So are you nuts to go there if they want to snatch a hostage and make a point? You could be it. I've been to Russia. Some very nice people. I was there with the Justice Department in 1997, giving talks to Russian prosecutors and lawyers about our legal system. That was in the days of the glasnost of Gorbachev had set it up, and Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin, was the head guy. And they were pro-Western. I wouldn't go there now. But in any event, I do not think that they smuggle it into her luggage. I do not think that they just planted it. I think she, you know, she's a WNBA star and she carries hashish oil. No big deal. But you got to understand something. In some of these countries, in Asia, some of these countries, you can be put to death I'm not kidding, death penalty for smuggling drugs. And I don't think they do it for hashish oil. But if you brought in even a little bit that in the United States would be seen as dealing, the death penalty in some Asian countries. In Turkey, back in the 1970s and 80s, a girl and her boyfriend were hiking through and they brought some drugs into Turkey and she got a life sentence. My friend Les Aspin, who was a congressman for many years in the 1st Congressional District, went on to be Secretary of Defense, died tragically very young in his 50s, but one of the best congressmen. And she was from Cuba City, I think, or I think she was, yeah, over somewhere in Grant County. And he spent years negotiating to get her out of Turkey. So guys, if you go to any country other than ours, do not carry anything in your luggage because you may end up in a very unpleasant jail in any event. Dennis Rodman says he's going over there. Well, the Biden administration yesterday put out a statement. They said, because Rodman had implied that he had been given permission, quote unquote, to go. And Biden's people came out and said, no, he wasn't given permission and we don't want him to go. We're in very, very, very sensitive negotiations for prisoner swap. And our State Department has proposed swapping this Russian murderer and arms dealer who's serving a very long sentence here in the United States. We captured him for not only Brittany Griner, but Paul Whelan. Paul Whelan is a Marine. They just snatched him off the street. The last guy in Russia, he's in jail too. The last guy that we swapped for was a U.S. Marine, and he came out of a bar, and a couple of guys jumped him, so he defended himself with his fists, no weapons. He gets 10 years for fighting in public. That would be disorderly conduct in this country. They did it to snatch themselves a hostage. They did it to snatch themselves a hostage. They can't be trusted. So anyway, that guy got out. We had to give up another murderous arms dealer thief. Well, this time around, the Russians, I think, are interested because they want this arms dealer and murderer back. He fits right into their society. And so Biden has some reasonable expectations that maybe we'll get Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan out, two highest profile people over there. So along comes Rodman. Now, you know, I like Rodman, and he was a great player, great passer, great rebounder, great defensive player. He and Jordan were a terrific team. He has tattoos up the wazoo. I mean, I've seen tattoos. I've seen a lot of tattoos. This guy had more tattoos than anybody ever saw. And he's a good guy. I really like him. But hey, dude, stay out of Russia. Stay out of this. You're in over your head. This is not North Korea, the hermit state, where they're the hermit kingdom, where they're desperate for any kind of recognition. And they immediately say, oh, Dennis Rodman, here, I'll turn this guy over to you. Russia's not that way. Russia is doing a genocide in Ukraine. They're a Nazi state. For 1,000 years, they've had 10 years of partial freedom, 10 years out of 1,000. For 1,000 years, they were under the czars, and they had a serf system, S-E-R-F, serf system. It wasn't quite slavery. It wasn't racial. But basically, if you're a serf, it was even worse than being a medieval peasant in the 10th century or something. You know, your lord and master could do whatever you want. He could beat you and punish you and in some cases kill you. And these were people who looked exactly like their so-called masters. And they were serfs. Then the Communist Revolution came. And instead of a czar, they had Lenin and Stalin. Stalin murdered more than 20 million people. There was never freedom in Russia. In about 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev was the head communist guy, and he was a very, very discerning guy. He realized they had to transition to Western-style democracy. So for 10 years, from about 1990 to roughly 2000, when Putin came along, they had some semblance of freedom, even though it was a kleptocracy, which means it's based on theft. Kleptos is theft. It was corrupt, very, very corrupt. But theoretically, you didn't have the KGB kicking down your door. Then Putin came in. He's a neo-Nazi himself. He's exactly like Stalin. The only difference is he's not as powerful militarily as Russia was at one time. And he can only get away with so much. So into this garbage dump goes Dennis Rodman to take out Brittany Griner. What about Paul Whelan, Dennis? What about Paul Whelan? I didn't hear you mention him. You're screwing this up. They're liable to turn around and go, okay, we'll give Dennis Rodman Brittany Griner. And you give us this murderous arms dealer thief. And Paul Whelan, who's he? Well, he's a Marine is what he is. And they just snatched him for a hostage. And so Rodman, get out of here. You haven't been on TV a while. I understand it. You haven't been on TV a while. And you like publicity. You like lights, just like a moth goes right to a light bulb. You go right to a TV camera. Enough's enough. Stay out. Frankly, you know, by executive order, Biden could just decree that nobody goes to Russia physically at all without leave of the State Department, and you let maybe a handful of people, they have legitimate business interests. I personally think what Russia is doing is simply destroying the entire country of Ukraine. They're just bombing civilians and bombing targets. I think that it's time just to sell our businesses. They can't do business in Russia. He can do that by executive order. Pharmaceutical companies are still sending pharmaceutical products into Russia on the grounds of humanity. Oh, really? Well, how about Russia bombing hospitals and bombing medical supplies in Ukraine? I think you stop pharmaceutical companies by executive order, Biden, from sending any product into Russia until they stop bombing hospitals and medical supplies in Ukraine. And if they resume it and they lie, which they will, then you cut them off again. There's only one way to deal with a Nazi state, short of war, and you do not want war. And that's what I'm describing. But what you don't need is a professional clown, a tattooed clown, going over there, looking for publicity and screwing this up, and probably resulting in Paul Whelan having to stay there in a medieval dungeon. And this is not right. Former Marine, we've got to get him out. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, how about some good news? You know, a lot of times on every station, it's easier to report the bad news. I'm going to report some good news this segment, some good news. Let me go to two states. Let me start with Pennsylvania. Good news out of Pennsylvania in both the Senate and the governor race. In the Senate, this fellow Fetterman that we have is outstanding. I mean, the guy, he just nails it. And not only that, he's a good guy. He's a former mayor of a smaller town, city, just outside of Pittsburgh. Excellent guy, Fetterman. And a very big guy. I think he's like 6'8 or something. The guy's huge. And he's very, very, he's seemingly uncomplicated. I think he's as smart as heck. But, I mean, seemingly uncomplicated and humble and just a good guy. And he is running against Mehmet Oz, O-Z, not the Wizard of Oz. This was Dr. Oz. Now, he's a right-wing Republican, as it turns out, endorsed by Trump. Trump likes celebrities. He thought Oz would win this thing because he was a celebrity. Half of Trump's endorsements, by the way, were simply people he thought would win anyway, so it could look like he did it for them when they, in fact, did it on their own. We made a mistake with Mehmet Oz because here's the deal. Poll just came out by the Trafalgar Group. It's a group that I don't know much about at all, but it's considered a national legitimate poll. And looking at the methodology, I think it's sound, the number of respondents in Pennsylvania. Fetterman beats Oz, the Democrat beats the Republican, 48% to 43%, with very few people undecided, 48-43. Now, every campaign, just like every jury trial, frequently gets down to one theme, you know, one fact that's a bone in the throat that somebody can't shake, that kind of thing. Well, in this particular one, what they're going on is that Dr. Oz actually is from New Jersey, lives in New Jersey. He was born, his parents came from Turkey. They were doctors in Ohio. He was born in Ohio, and but he lives in New Jersey. He has 10 homes, T-E-M. He claimed in an ad he only had two homes. Well, it turns out he has 10 homes. I mean, he'd have to visit one a month practically, and having a home is a lot of work. Good Lord, 10 homes. In any event, his only residence in Pennsylvania is that his in-laws live there, and he claims he rents a room. Well, come on. You go to your in-laws, and you stay in the guest bedroom, and you rent that? You don't rent that. Come on. Come on. So in any event, they caught him, and he keeps in, Fetterman keeps hitting it. But there's a deeper story to it, because Dr. Oz, I told you his parents came from Turkey. Dr. Oz is a military veteran. Unfortunately, it's the Turkish military, believe it or not. When you're first generation like that, he has dual citizenship. He has Turkish and American citizenship. He could have gone into either military, and he went in the Turkish military. That's where he served. Turkish military. He has a right as a citizen of the United States to vote in our elections, American elections, but he has a right in Turkey to vote in Turkish elections. Well, he votes in Turkish elections. In the last couple, he didn't vote in the United States. Now, here's the deal. You can say a guy's from New Jersey and he's running for Senate in Pennsylvania, and that's cute, but this is a deeper statement in this race. If a guy is running for the U.S. Senate, and he claims that he is a military veteran, it damn well better be the U.S. military, period. And if he says, I vote, I'm up on my civics, it better be in American elections. That's what's really underlying. New Jersey is a beard. It's a metaphor. The fact is the guy has nothing to do with Pennsylvania. He's a pain in the neck. Fetterman, it looks like he's going to beat him. In fact, there were other polls. The margin of error in that poll was 2.9%. There are other polls. A Fox News poll shows him with a bigger margin, because that margin, Fetterman, was 5%. Fox News is more than that. And then there's a public opinion strategies poll. Fetterman is up by 18%. There's another poll. He's up 15%. So right now, Fetterman's looking good. Now, Fetterman had a stroke back a couple of months ago. Got to be careful. He's a very big guy. You're 6'8". You have a very large heart. And, you know, do Great Danes live as long as Chihuahuas? No, they don't, for good reason, because Great Danes' hearts are bigger. But he's a big heart in a very good sense, too. So Fetterman looks good. And then in governor, we have Shapiro, our guy, Democrat, against Mastriano. Josh Shapiro is the attorney general. In that Trafalgar poll, he's up by 4 points, 48-44. In other polls, he's up by more than that, 15 points. I think he is looking solid. Mastriano is the QAnon guy, believe it or not. Trump supported, says it was, he also in Pennsylvania, they get to appoint, the governor appoints the Secretary of State. You can't vote for the Secretary of State, and they regulate elections. If he puts a QAnon guy in there, Mastriano gets in. He said, I will not certify a Democrat. He just flat out said it. Go to Nevada. Catherine Cortez Mastro over Adam Laxalt. Laxalt's father was a very well-known name there in statewide office. Catherine Cortez Masto is ahead of Adam Laxalt, the Democrat over the Republican, by 7 points, 45-38. So good news from Pennsylvania, good news from Nevada. Nevada has a very strong service employees union, restaurant workers union. They're getting behind Catherine Cortez Masto. And this Laxalt individual, he has a famous name. It's not clear what else he's done or if he's in. He's no good is what he is. We don't want him. We don't want him. Masto is ahead 7 points. And we're ahead by a comfortable margin in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a little more dangerous because Mastriano is QAnon. He's said QAnon things, and he said he will not certify anybody who is a Democrat wins for president. So you can't have this guy, and unfortunately, I think he may be being dragged down a little bit in the governor race by Mehmet Oz in the Senate race against Fetterman. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going back to Moscow, Russia. Very dangerous development coming up in Moscow, Russia. And you may say, well, so what's new, Matt? So what's new? This genocidal invasion has been going on for 6 months. Russia has lost 60,000 troops, 6-0. Give you an idea, in Vietnam over 10 years, we lost about a little over 50,000, maybe 53,000 people, all American heroes, over 10 years. In 6 months, they've lost 60,000 people, 10,000 a month on the average. Their military is incompetent. They're falling apart. But you don't like to see a company desperate that has nuclear weapons. So the other day, there was an assassination outside in a suburb of Moscow. And this woman, Daria Dugina, young woman, but an extreme right-wing neo-Nazi fanatic herself, blown up in her car. Her father is Alexander Dugin. He's been described as a neo-Nazi occultist. He is also described as Putin's Rasputin. Rasputin was this weird guy that hung around the Romanovs a little over 100 years ago and had them under his spell. And, you know, with Rasputin, they tried to kill him, the Russians did, and they threw him in the river, held him under, beat him, and they couldn't. The guy was unbelievably difficult to knock off, but in any event, they finally knocked him off. Well, the daughter, Daria Dugina, was blown up in her father's car. He switched cars at the last minute to another car right behind her. I do not suspect him because he was genuinely grief-stricken and so forth. But the other day on the show, I pointed out that a lot of people were under the impression that Vladimir Putin himself had engineered this, because you can't just walk up to one of those cars and put a bomb in it. And you can't get Dugin out. Putin needed him. But by killing the daughter, Putin has killed a lot of people in London, in Berlin, political opponents, a lot of people. Killed them all. And the thought was that he would then say, now I've really got to use tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Okay. Well, there is a much more nuanced theory coming out, and I'm somewhat persuaded by it. Of course, Alexander Dugin immediately said, Ukrainians did it, let's just bomb Ukraine. But a lot of people, including, there's an independent TV station left in Russia, and the announcer is Abbas Galiamov, and the Russians are trying to shut it down, and they're about to shut it down. But he said, and a lot of people have said, that this was an assassination done by Putin's people to get rid of Putin. In other words, the FSB. The FSB is simply the KGB with different letters. And some of these senior people think Putin is destroying Russia, destroying because of Western sanctions, destroying because of military incompetence, and that there's no tactical or strategic reason to go into Ukraine. And they are sending a message. And to give you an idea, the suburb where this explosion occurred was a very upscale suburb of Moscow. It'd be like Mequon. And those of you outstate who do not know Milwaukee well, Mequon is a very upscale, expensive homes just north of Milwaukee. A lot of people who work in Milwaukee live there. And if there was something like this there, that would rattle everybody in Milwaukee and in the state. This may be a shot across the bow by the FSB that it's time for Putin to go. And Putin reportedly does have some kind of blood cancer. I don't know what kind. And he is under siege. So stand by. But you do not like to see even an enemy who's desperate if they have nuclear weapons. And it's a very, very dangerous situation over there. We're going to the lines. Jack of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. I have a quick comment, and then I have a question for you this morning. My comment is on the opening of your show for today. It's refreshing to hear how you are loyal to our veterans. I wish our Senator Johnson would be like that. He would not have voted against that VA bill for the health care for the veterans. And my question is this. You had mentioned, I believe, on yesterday's show, maybe I heard it wrong, that some lady voted in the state of Florida, I guess she had a couple months on her probation, and she got incarcerated for 5 years. Anyhow, my question is this. I know the states are different, but here in Wisconsin, here in Racine County, a man named Waite, I don't remember his first name, he committed a crime by impersonating people to get a bunch of ballots, and then he admitted to it. Well, that would be like me saying, well, gee, I murdered somebody. I want to see if I could get away with murder. So anyhow, I wanted to know, are they going to do something to this fellow or not? And I'll take my comment off the air, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jack. Excellent questions. Let me hit the first one first. The person in jail, this has happened in Texas and in Tennessee, and may have happened in Florida, but the ones I was talking about in Texas and Tennessee. Tennessee was the worst one. A woman went and she said to the election workers at the polling place in advance, she said, I have a felony conviction, but it expires. My probation or my parole expires, on X date. Am I good to go? And they said yes. She then voted and was charged with a felony and convicted and put in jail. But the prosecutor has a duty under, it's called a Brady disclosure in criminal law, to turn over all exculpatory evidence to the defense. And he deliberately withheld their internal records that said she'd been told she could vote. And now all hell is breaking loose against that prosecutor down there. And I think the woman's out of jail. But Jack, what they're doing is scaring folks. Nobody wants to go to jail and then win on appeal. In Texas, what you have is exactly, I was talking about Texas, a woman in jail, and a man actually was prosecuted too. Burglary conviction in the 90s, 25-year probation period or whatever after he gets out. It expires in June. The election was in April. That's 2 months before June. He'd been told at a previous parole hearing, you're an outstanding citizen. You don't have to come in anymore. Your parole will be over. Your parole is basically over. So he votes in April, and then he's criminally charged, because technically he was still on parole, even though he had no more reporting obligations. What are we doing scaring folks? What are we doing scaring folks? It's wrong. It's immoral. The whole idea, because these people are all in minority communities, there are people who will go down the line, these election police, and they'll say, anybody here have a criminal conviction? And five people leave the line. Well, they may have misdemeanor convictions, for drunk driving in some cases, and they don't want to take a chance. Misdemeanors don't stop you from voting in any state. You see what's going on? It's wrong. Yeah, and this guy Waite down in Racine, he lied in his applications. He got ballots for Robin Voss and Corey Mason. Corey Mason is the mayor of Racine, and Robin Voss is Robin Voss. In any event, they come in, and he goes, and there's a sheriff named Schmeling in Racine who's bad news. He's a member of that constitutional sheriff's group. There are 3,000 sheriffs in the country, and 300 of them belong to this group, 10%. And they say that the sheriff is the most powerful guy in the county, more than the president of the United States. And the power of the county is what controls. And in Latin, power of the county is translated as posse comitatus. And so this guy says, Waite is, he holds a press conference. This guy, or his public statement, this guy, Waite, is a patriot. Well, the Wisconsin Election Commission thinks that he should be prosecuted. I think he should be prosecuted. You know, in the old days, you'd occasionally have a court, a TV reporter who'd say, can I go in and sign up for welfare benefits under assumed name to show how easy it is? And then I'll just announce that. And you go, no, if you do that, that's a crime. You can't commit a crime just to show how easy it is. And by the way, it's not easy to do what Waite did. He had to commit perjury. He had to commit a crime, and it was caught. So the second thing is, you know, you would have some TV reporters who go, can I go into a bar and buy an illegal gun that's been stolen to show? No, you can't. If you do that, that's a felony. It's not a defense to a felony to say your intent was benign. That's not a defense to a felony. Waite should be convicted. And Schmeling, I'll tell you what, should shut up. And not only that, he's law enforcement. He has done political endorsements in his uniform. We need a change in state law in this respect. Right now, the governor has the authority to remove a district attorney from misconduct. That should be amended to say he can remove a sheriff from misconduct as well. Now, misconduct is broadly interpreted. It's basically whatever the governor says it is. And I think there should be a declaration that law enforcement should not endorse people on TV in their uniforms. And they should. This is the guy, Schmeling, who said that the Wisconsin Election Commission, 5 of the 6 commissioners, should be charged with felonies because they mailed ballots. They mailed ballots into old age homes in Kenosha because they wouldn't let them in to hand them the ballots because of COVID. Well, who is he to say that these are his civilian superiors? We have got to let, we treasure law enforcement. They have a tough job. We should support them, but they do not override their civilian superiors. And this guy, this sheriff, is siding with Waite. He should keep quiet, should not side with Waite. Waite, grand jury should be convened. And the only question is, did Waite put in paperwork, which is a crime, lying about who he was to get Voss's absentee ballot and to get Corey Mason's absentee ballot? And both Voss and Corey Mason blasted him and said he should be prosecuted. What are we waiting for? I would prosecute him at the state level. If you wait for the Racine County DA to prosecute, she never will. She never will. There's nothing that the police, the sheriff, or anybody does down there that she has the courage to do anything about. It's got to be the attorney general. That's where it's got to come out of. So, Jack, there you go. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And as far as Johnson is concerned, he opposed the Pitburn medical bill. Some of our veterans over in Afghanistan in particular, but even Iraq, were damaged. Their lungs were damaged by toxic materials. Those places, some of them are basically garbage dumps. The stuff is burned and the munitions. Well, listen, during Vietnam, there's Agent Orange. I knew guys that had Agent Orange. And no one knew, you know, there was a defoliant they spread to make sure the Viet Cong weren't hiding in vegetation along the rivers to shoot our guys. So guys would swim in the river. Guys would drink the water. And in the First World War, my great uncle, Jackie Monahan, got gassed. He got gassed in Europe. His lungs were destroyed and he died young. What, he wasn't supposed to get medical care? Agent Orange guys shouldn't get medical care? Pitburn guys in Afghanistan shouldn't get medical care? That's what Johnson said. Then he switched his vote at the end when there was an uproar. Guy's not sticking up for the veterans. He truly is not sticking up for the veterans. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the New York Times just uncovered something. I'll tell you what. You knew and I knew that Citizens United was a bad decision. That was a decision over 10 years ago where the Republican U.S. Supreme Court overturned 100 years of precedent. You're not supposed to do that. It's called stare decisis in Latin. Means it stands decided. They don't shouldn't lightly just overthrow cases. Several Supreme Courts, several Congresses had said that you can't have dark money. You can't have black ops type money. You can't have corporate contributions. And states can limit the amount. So for instance, you know, for a while, you were limited, say in federal elections, to $2,000 in the primary and two in the general, went up to 2,900 in the primary, 2,900 in the general. And that's what, no matter how wealthy you were, that's all you could give to a candidate. An exception was made for people who were very wealthy. They said, well, they can spend as much as they want because it's their own money and they got to disclose that it came from them. In Citizens United, they basically said, you can't regulate it at all. There's still a law that says that no foreign entity can contribute in an American election. That's violated all the time. There have been Russian oligarchs who have gotten American citizenship. What they do is they get British citizenship first, which is very easy to get because the Brits are hard up and any wealthy guy can get citizenship. Then they come to us and they say, oh, we have British citizenship. Oh, okay. And then they get American citizenship and they give a lot of money to the Republican Party. Now, just unearthed, there was a contribution. This is the biggest contribution that's ever been made to a political influencing entity in history. And it was made in 2020, in May of 2020, hoping to get Trump back in, but to influence every level of government. $1.6 billion. I mean, $1.6 billion. How many people are worth $1.6 billion? I mean, this guy, his name is Barr Seid, B-A-R-R-E-S-E-I-D, 90-year-old guy. He had some kind of an electronics company. And what he did was he transferred appreciated stock in a company worth $1.6 billion to the Marble Freedom Trust, which is controlled by Leonard Leo. Now, you may know the name. He's the co-chair of the Federalist Society. So Barr Seid turns over $1.6 billion in stock, and that's appreciated stock, so basically no one's paying any income tax on it. And then it can be sold for cash by Marble Freedom Trust when they need it, and they pour a ton of money into right-wing conservative causes. Now, first of all, Citizens United has to be overturned. People say, well, let's do it by constitutional amendment. You're not going to do it by constitutional amendment. First of all, it's going to take a majority of the House and the Senate to send it out to the states. Then it has to get two-thirds or three-quarters of the states. And that's not likely to happen in the present political environment. But we need a Supreme Court back. Right now, we have a 6-3 Republican Supreme Court that does anything that benefits the Republican Party. And what we've got to do is get independent judges and judges that are moderate, get back on there and just say, Citizens United was wrong. They overturned 100 years of congressional and Supreme Court precedent. They had no business doing it, and reinstate the prior prohibitions. But in the meantime, you should be aware, $1.6 billion, that's a big number. It's a very, very big number. And the thing about the Federalist Society and Leonard Leo is that his His goal was to change it from the bottom up. That's what they've been doing since the 1980s. The reason we have six Republican judges on the Supreme Court is because of the Federalist Society. And frankly, this is happening now. They're getting down to poll workers. They're getting down below governors and senators to secretaries of state and attorney generals, and below that, Supreme Court justices in the states, and even election commissioners and poll workers. You've got to understand that. And if you're out there and you care, even as an independent, even as an American who cares about our democracy, you have got to get involved. You've got to understand what is occurring, and you can sit around to and talk to your blue in the face. But the fact of the matter is that this is not going to change. And with that kind of money coming in, I mean, that $1.6 billion, that could tie up 24/7 TV, even in a big state, in a governor race, certainly in an attorney general, secretary of state race. An example of a way that they're doing to, through the back door, through seemingly constitutional means, is going on in North Carolina right now. There's a Democratic attorney general named Josh Stein, and Josh Stein is going to be running for governor in the next biennium. And there's a 91-year-old libel law that's unconstitutional in North Carolina that makes it a criminal offense to communicate, quote, false and derogatory information about your opponent. Josh Stein got his position. The guy running against him was a Republican named Jim O'Neill. Jim O'Neill was a DA of a right-wing county in North Carolina. And Josh Stein put on TV that said that Jim O'Neill had been negligent in not testing about 1,000 rape kits. Well, the same thing happened in this state. I mean, Josh Call pointed out that Brad Schimmel in the last election hadn't tested rape kits. It's a legitimate issue. Well, this right-wing county and Stein, now Stein lost the race, are trying to convene a grand jury to criminally charge under this criminal libel law Stein by saying, well, the police should have done it, not me. So therefore, that was misleading. And now, this is up in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's got to be turned over. Even the Supreme Court will turn it over. You can't have criminal libel laws, because they're too vague, and they infringe on the First Amendment. What is degrading? Hey, turn on your TV. Take a look at all the ads. Take a look at anything having to do with Michaels or Evers, anything having to do with Ron Johnson or Mandela Barnes. All of them would be prosecuted in North Carolina. This is America. And a lot of this happens in the southern states, and it's got to stop. There was a criminal libel sedition law back when our country was formed in the late 1700s, and a journalist was prosecuted for insulting the government, just like in Asia and the Middle East. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. The First Amendment, this has got to be overturned. But this is an example of what's going on. This is an example of what's going on. It's happening in North Carolina right now, and our future gubernatorial candidate is being proceeded against. Going to a break. The lines are live. I see you. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789.